makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Another program of strange, fascinating, and sometimes almost unbelievable happenings. Brought to you by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative. Tonight, you'll hear about the discovery and transportation of the Cullinan, largest diamond in the world. Also of the amazing fate that came to General Stonewall Jackson. And living thermometers. Have you ever heard of them? Well, you will in a few minutes. And also learn how to tell the temperature by your living thermometers. We hope you enjoy this new X-Lax series. And we also hope you're enjoying the benefits of X-Lax. X-Lax is so mild, so gentle, so thoroughly effective. And it is so pleasant to take, since it tastes just like delicious chocolate. We honestly believe that if you'll try X-Lax once, you'll never take any other laxative. The world's largest diamond. It is the year 1905. The largest diamond in the world has just been discovered at the premier mine in the Transvaal, South Africa. It is named the Cullinan Diamond after the owner of the mine, weighs 3,025 and 3/4 carats, and is estimated at $5 million. Thinking that such a diamond is fit only for a king, the government of the Transvaal purchases it for King Edward VII of England. Now the problem arises. How is the enormous diamond to be sent across deserts and seas to England without risk of theft? At length, they decide upon a plan.
All about the Cullinan diamond.
I'm going for Cullinan diamond sent to England.
Extra, extra, I'm going for the diamond.
Take it back to the country to be sent down.
Under an armed escort, the priceless diamond sealed in a special case is transported by train to Pretoria, capital of the Union of South Africa. Stretches of open country, veld, bush, through Kaffir village and city of the Boers, moves the convoy train until it pulls into Cape Town, where a liner is waiting for its precious cargo.
All ashore, what's giving the shore? All
Now the Cullinan Diamond is on the last half of its journey to England and King Edward. It is kept in a special safe with two men standing guard day and night. The box is never opened. At last, at Southampton, another train meets the boat and takes the box to London. Here it is rushed from the station to a secret meeting place. Many illustrious personages are there to watch the opening of the box, which holds the largest diamond in the world.
Please stand back a little, gentlemen. You'll all be able to see.
Well, that doesn't look like a diamond.
It looks like a lump of coal.
It is a lump of coal.
A lump of coal?
My God, it's been stolen. We must notify Scotland Yard.
The government has been robbed. Gentlemen, gentlemen, please, control yourselves one moment. Mr. Davies.
Yes, sir?
Will you give me that little box over there?
Yes, sir.
Now, this box came by parcel post this morning.
But I say, this is a bit of an outrage, asking us here for this parcel.
I agree. Trying to put us off by showing some other piece of tomfoolery.
Just a minute, please. I want to open this other box.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
gentlemen, this is the Cullinan Diamond.
Strange as it seems, the government of the Transvaal hoaxed a breathless world and forestalled any theft by sending the great Cullinan diamond across half the world by ordinary parcel post. Stonewall Jackson, the accidental martyr. Stonewall Jackson, one of the most brilliant Confederate generals in the Civil War, was Robert E. Lee's right-hand man. On May 1st, 1863, the Federal Army, under General Hooker, threatened to envelop the Southerners at Chancellorsville, Virginia. Then Lee and Jackson planned one of their boldest strokes. Jackson and his whole corps moved secretly around Hooker's right, and on May 2nd made a surprise attack on the unsuspecting Federals. It is the moment of victory. Jackson and some of his men ride ahead to organize the pursuit of the demoralized Northerners.
Oh! Colonel Carey, take your men along the bed of the stream.
Yes, General Jackson.
I will advance through these woods here.
Oh, but General, it's dust. Let me go in the woods. It's dangerous. There might be Yankees hiding in there.
All the more reason why I'm going myself, Colonel.
But General,
Colonel Carey, do as I command.
Very good, sir. Squadron B, advance and fire along the bed of the stream. Follow me.
Major Weston.
Sir?
There is a shortcut through that clump of woods. I used to know it as a boy. The Yankees will never suspect it.
Yes, General Jackson.
Follow me.
General Jackson.
Yes, Major Weston?
It's getting dark. Our own men are scattered all through here. I wouldn't want them to mistake us for Yankees.
Oh, they won't do that.
Look, sir.
What?
Through there. I can see some men moving through the trees. There are men. I'd better let them know who we are.
No. Don't shout. I don't want the Yankees to know we're in here at all.
But, General, after an attack, men are nervous. They don't think clearly. They...
Oh. Oh. Oh, hold my horse, Major. I'm hit. He's going to bolt. Quick. Hold him. There. There. I can fall clear of him now. Let him go. Oh. 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 Oh.
Are you badly hurt?
Yes, badly. You were right. I should have let you shout.
General, our own men have shot you. Oh, General, let me help you to your feet.
No, no, I can't move.
I shot him. General Jackson, I shot you. I want to die.
Quiet, my boy, quiet. No, put down that gun.
Jackson, I didn't know.
I know that you were but doing your duty.
I don't want to live anymore.
Oh, there, now, quiet, my boy, quiet. Oh, Major Weston, don't stay here. Leave me at once. This is war.
We cannot leave you, sir.
Obey my orders.
But, General Jackson, leave you alone in a strange place, wounded?
Obey my orders.
Very well, General.
Go.
Men, follow me.
A strange place, is it? When I used to come here as a little fella, even this tree is an old friend. An old friend. Oh.
Strange as it seems, Stonewall Jackson was mortally wounded by one of his own men while in the very moment of victory. On hearing of the tragedy, General Robert E. Lee said, "I should have wished for the good of the country to be disabled in his stead." Living thermometers. The type of thermometer used in the present day was discovered by the great scientist Galileo about the year 1612. But long, long before that,
there existed thermometers, had anyone been able to recognize them. Mac and Julia have just had a picnic under a shady tree. It is very hot, the sky is hazy, and the only sound is the chirping of crickets in grass and trees.
Gee, it's a hot day.
Yes, I'd rather die than move an inch.
What a woman.
Oh, dear. Oh. Ooh. There isn't a breath of wind. Must be about 90 in the shade.
It's probably about... Wait a second. Let me look at my watch. I'll tell you the exact temperature.
What on earth are you doing?
It's 88 degrees.
How do you know?
The crickets told me.
Oh, don't be whimsical. It's too hot.
Oh, but they did tell me. Crickets are perfect thermometers.
Nonsense.
It's true. You count the number of chirps a cricket makes in 14 seconds, then add 40 onto the number, and you have the exact temperature.
Well, how do you know?
Well, insects are very sensitive to temperature, tree crickets especially.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's the truth. The hotter it is, the faster they chirp.
Makes me warm just to think of them. How about the katydids?
Well, at every 4 degrees, the katydids change. First, it's Katie did it, then it's Katie didn't, then it's Katie did, then she didn't, and then she did. And finally, a mere Katie in around 60 degrees is just plain Kate.
In other words, life is just one argument after another to a Katie did.
Yes. Below 40 degrees, all insects are silent. Unfortunately, in marriage, it doesn't work out that way.
Cynic. Just listen to those crickets.
Yes. A cricket's life really begins at 40.
Strange as it seems, crickets actually are thermometers. To find the temperature, count the number of chirps a cricket makes in 14 seconds. Then add 40. If you compare your total with a thermometer, you will find the result to be practically identical.
Of course, sometimes you might find it rather inconvenient to go around searching for a cricket in order to tell the temperature. But almost at every turn, where there's a drugstore, you'll find the familiar X-Lax thermometer. A reliable thermometer, advertising a reliable laxative. For 28 years, the favorite. Next time you need a laxative, won't you try X-Lax? You'll find it gentler, milder, yet completely effective. You'll find it delightful to take, since it tastes just like delicious chocolate. You'll find that it's the ideal family laxative, since it is equally good for young and old alike. And this is pleasant, too. It only costs 10 cents a box. In England, there is a woman who makes her living with a pea shooter. A certain very famous novelist was once a smuggler. He sailed the high seas with risk of imprisonment and death. Who was the outlaw genius? You have heard of the power of the press. One time it was so great that it controlled the very elements themselves. Be sure to listen to the next Strange as It Seems program. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Eggs can be soft boiled by sound.